Welcome to Marketers Talking Marketing.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Marketers Talking. Today, we are joined by Mason. Tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. My name is Mason Cosby, founder of a little organization called Scrappy ABM. We are the only ABM service provider that provides step-by-step programs for the crawl stage of account-based marketing. So if you're looking to get ABM off the ground, kind of your only option.
Nice. It must be good for business, though, to be the only option.
So admittedly, from a positioning perspective, I was working with a business coach, and this concept came from good to great. And just like, think about where you're the only person that does. It's called the onlyness statement, hedgehog concept. So like, yeah, I want to be very clear. I got that from an incredible coach. His name is Kenny Lang. So if you're looking for a business coach, highly recommend him. And yeah, I mean, I just feel really easy and confident to claim that. So again, if you want to get ABM off the ground, you want somebody that's dedicated to actually doing right foundations and crawl stage, I'm it. So like, you can do it with us. You can do it through your internal team, or you can buy an ebook.
Awesome. What's the biggest thing you see when people are trying to get ABM off the ground, or they're thinking about ABM, but they haven't quite started yet?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a few things actually. One is, you know, it's coming from their sales team, and the sales team went to a conference or, you know, started Googling how to make marketing not suck, something to that extent, or how do we transition our marketing department from an arts and crafts department, which, to be super clear, is not generally true, but it's what sales sometimes feels is the case. So, you know, now they're fighting sales perception, which is if we build an ABM program, we will magically have right fit accounts that show up on our doorstep in the next 3 days. So they're fighting the sales perception. The second thing is, again, it's coming from more of an outside organ or outside party that is not internal, that is not the marketing team that's now pushing for us to do ABM. You're going to generally look at somebody like a CEO that is, again, they heard about it somehow, some way. They're probably speaking to their board. They're probably speaking to other founders that are like, we built an ABM program and it completely revolutionized our approach to everything. And like, I don't know why we didn't build it sooner. So now you've got CEO pressure to go build an ABM program. Or the third thing that we're often seeing that's like really making it a struggle is marketing doesn't want to be viewed as the arts and crafts department any longer. They want to be viewed as a true revenue partner. So they start to push for an ABM program within their organization. But because there's not been the partnership previously, it's like, no, no, no. You're like, you're going to continue to edit sales decks and like make pretty graphics and make sure that we've got great collateral for our events. And like, that's the lane that you're going to sit in. So they actually, despite preaching the idea that we could be a true revenue partner, they unfortunately get pushed back into the same box and not able to make the impact that they desire to make.
Yeah. I used to have a seller that I worked with when I was running marketing, and he would send me leads and say, can you ABM them? I'm like, what? Like, what do you think ABM is? Because you don't have an account list. You keep giving me these one-off people who I don't even know if they're in your buying committee, but you keep sending me leads and asking me to ABM them. Like, what do you think ABM is? Tell me in your words. And he's like, yeah, you get it. So when I call them, they want to buy. I'm like, all right, let's talk about your account list. Like, where is it? Yeah. It would drive me insane.
Yeah. And you're not alone. Like, again, as we've had quite a few conversations, the most interesting is when a sales leader comes inbound and wants to talk with me about building their ABM program. We do actually have success working with sales leaders, but it's a re-education on the front end. And because I'm not, especially for marketers, they're often what is referred to as the prophet in their own town. So, you know, they've known you. And if you've only been largely a brand marketer, and then you try to make the transition to a revenue focused, like, we're going to talk about a marketing metric as marketing source revenue. It's like, no, you're not. Like, that's not who you are. That's not what you do. So it's difficult to change the perspective and the perception within your organization. Whereas an outside consultant, admittedly, I can kind of say whatever I want, because the worst case scenario is they're going to fire me and I've got a bunch of other clients that are happy working with us. So it's not going to like dramatically be a detriment to the rest of my life. Whereas if you push too hard for something, there is always the fear that like, if I push too hard for organizational change and try to like go against the grain too much, that could be my job. So it's just hard for internal marketers to make this shift if they don't already have the buy-in.
Oh yeah. I have through my course, my career, worked with more than one client who have been like, we're totally aligned on what you need to do. What's stopping you from being able to do this internal? They're like, I really just need you to come in and like say, this is what we need to do. I need that third party to validate that this is the right move because I'm having trouble getting that buy-in and alignment internally. So definitely is a real situation. So it sounds like it all really comes down to sales and marketing alignment first off, and getting everyone on the same page to work together, and then building a program together.
Well, there would be kind of two other components, and I'll go through these really, really quickly. It's like the main three reasons that ABM always fails. So the biggest is obviously the sales and marketing piece. The next is just like, generally speaking, let's go back to the CEO example or the sales example of somebody that's an external from the marketing department that's pushing marketing to do an ABM program. Generally, what's going to happen is it's going to get thrown at somebody. So Jess, in your context, you already outlined, like your sales team came back to you over and over and over again. I was like, can you ABM them? It's like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
I can guarantee ABM was not your full-time job. I can guarantee you were doing a bunch of other things. So when you go to try to build an ABM program, generally speaking, it just gets thrown at somebody as a bullet point on their job description, and they already had a full-time job. So there's the lack of resources to actually make it happen. And the other thing that I've started to see a lot more of, and that's coming up through a lot of conversations, is like a marketing manager or marketing director will be given the accountability to deliver an ABM program, but not the authority to make the organizational change. So they literally are just not equipped to actually make it happen. So it's just the lack of resources to actually make the organizational change come into effect. So that's the second thing.
Yeah.
Third one, pretty simple. We measure marketing the same regardless of program. And really, ABM is not actually a marketing program. It's a more like revenue organizational program. We have to change the ways in which we measure the program and the overall KPIs. So we don't generally change the scorecard for like, is marketing winning or not? We just keep the scorecard the same, but we've changed the approach entirely. And as a result, ABM might actually be working, but we don't know it because we haven't changed what we report and measure on.
Do you have favorite metrics that you like to lean into with ABM?
Yeah, there's like three core metrics that I think everybody should be generally measuring on. So the first is account level engagement. So when you think about account level engagement, yes, third-party signals around intent data, they're helpful pieces of information. I generally hate how intent data has been marketed as like, you got fish in a barrel, like just go after these people. And it's like, really? Okay, great. But I was literally working with a client and they're like, oh, cool. So Walmart and Target and Sony are showing intent for our thing. Helpful, maybe, but like, there's hundreds of thousands of people that work at those organizations. You have no idea who to even reach out to. So it's not actually like intent, if not used appropriately, is like a way oversold tool. I think it's helpful to understand in-market signals, but really the real goal to something is first-party engagement information. So understanding not only these people the right fit, they're actively in a buying cycle based on third-party intent information, but they're actually in a buying cycle exploring us as a potential option. So like, that's the first thing, is our accounts that we're going after engaging with our brand, because that is your leading indicator to inevitable pipeline. The next piece would be marketing sourced pipeline. So understanding through our ABM program, did we actually source pipeline? And I actually, the more I'm thinking through the transition, it's less like marketing source specific pipeline, and it's more like ABM program source pipeline. Because let's say an SDR is a part of your ABM program and marketing sourced in it, or like raised an account, like prime example, an account was looking at your product pages, your pricing page, and your schedule a call page, but they didn't quite book a meeting, but you pass that account to your SDR, they send two emails and give one cold call and they book a meeting. Like, who should be sourced for that deal? Admittedly, in most yarns, it's probably going to be the SDR, but in reality, it was the coordinated effort. Yeah. So I think about ABM sourced pipeline. And then finally, it's ABM sourced revenue. So like, do we actually close these deals? So as you're looking at internally within the marketing org, the main metric of success should largely be target account engagement, and then number of target accounts showing engagement passed to SDRs on a weekly or monthly basis. Does that actually turn into meetings? So again, if you can figure out how many accounts we need engaging, how many of those accounts actually convert into meetings, those are your leading indicators. Based on the meetings, then you report into your executive team or the sales team, ABM sourced pipeline as the win one, earlier in the program, and then inevitably, based on your sales cycle, you should see ABM sourced revenue 3 to 6 months later. So those were the things that I would report on and focus on.
I love it. ABM account engagement is like one of my favorite metrics to pull in, because it can be such a powerful story to tell too, where if you're targeting 1,000 accounts and you see that 800 of them were totally unengaged with you this time last year, and now you have all of them engaged, you have people on the buying committee coming to your website, it tells such a powerful story internally. And, you know, we see, especially in enterprise sales, people aren't buying tomorrow. They want that time to go through and do research and make their decisions. I'm not saying anything new to most people listening on this podcast, but it's a really strong one. And I think I also, you're underpinning that it's a joint effort, right? It's not sales or marketing doing this in silos. It's really coming together to make sure that we're nurturing these accounts and telling that story over the lifetime of engagement.
Yeah.
Do you have tools that you tend to lean into for using? I realize also I'm saying lean into a lot. Don't know where that came from, but do you have some favorite tools that you use for helping really understand that data?
Yeah. Your current tool set is like the best place to start, because when we look at why ABM fails, it's generally because of the wrong foundations. So the worst way to make it even harder is to say, in order for us to get this right, we have to go invest $200,000 in additional technology, because now you've made the pressure on the program exponentially greater. So from my perspective, do what you can with the tooling that you have today in order to get started. And if there are specific gaps, like prime example, if you have no ability to understand first party website engagement, like literally at all, which admittedly I would struggle to see that, but let's say you don't. You can use a tool called Warmly, which has a free version where you can actually see accounts that are hitting your website. So that's a one that I lean into pretty heavily. But again, even in a basic HubSpot instance, like I'm on HubSpot Starter. So like the most basic HubSpot instance that's paid. If I have somebody that exists in my CRM, I can actually see the pages that they hit on the website. So in HubSpot Starter, which cost me $20 a month, I could technically get account level engagement. I would just need to have them exist in my CRM. And most people, if they're building an ABM program, have a target account list, and they can just upload that target account list into their CRM, like a HubSpot, and track it that way. So you can get started with what you have today. Now, admittedly, tools like Warmly help to de-anonymize website traffic. So if you don't have them in your CRM and you don't know who they are, that's where Warmly is going to come into play. But for getting started, you could run a CRM-based ABM program to prove out the model using your current data set. And then, based on the success of the model, add new data sources that then expand the ABM program.
Yeah. Huge fan of Warmly also. We've rolled it out for a handful of clients, and they found just massive uplift in their ability to target into the right accounts and do more, I would say, like more pinpoint outbounding to those who actually have interest. So plus one for Warmly over here too. I like your approach though, because really you can get started with not a lot to be able to show that there's some legs here, and then get that tech investment following. And I historically I've used, I think, everything. I've used all the major tools, and end of the day, a lot of them are pretty similar. It's like which ones are going to partner with you to help you really get the biggest impact.
Exactly.
On that side. Yeah. Are there things that people should also be keeping in mind if they're thinking about starting ABM?
Yeah. I mean, if we think about keeping it in mind, I've got a generally helpful framework. At least I think it's helpful. People seem to like it thus far, of the four questions you should answer in any ABM program. And it's just four D's. So the first D is data. So again, who are we going after? What is our reason for reaching out? And based on who we're going after and that reason to reach out, how do we message this person appropriately? It's like a quick example on a data set that everybody has, so everybody could steal this and actually do it today, is a closed loss program. So again, you look at what are all of our closed loss deals? Why did we lose them? It's like, what's our closed loss reason? And if there's a closed loss reason that we can re-engage around, then we should build a program there. Quick example, we have a client that made 16 product updates in a 6 month time frame, and they lost deals in the past 6 months based on things that they didn't have that they now do. So we can re-engage. It's literally 100 deals in the past 6 months with a clear reason to reach out that can very easily be personalized by the seller to the end account. And generally speaking, on a closed loss campaign, you should see a 15 to 20% re-engagement into now active pipeline. So for them, we're going to run this over the next 2 months. We expect to see 15 to 20 deals that come back into pipeline. Huge win. We didn't need any external data. We just needed to then think through, why are we reaching back out? And then what's the content and how do we message this? So that's like the first D is data. The next piece is distribution. So again, what are the channels that we're going to use to get in front of these people? The closed loss program, you're largely going to be using email, social, and phone calls. You could run an ad campaign up against the same target account list. That is an option. But admittedly, I like to use free and very inexpensive channels to validate messaging before I scale it up through more expensive channels like paid advertising. So again, your distribution could be an outbound program. Destination is the third D. What are we pointing them to? It's like my favorite thing in a closed loss program or in an expansion program is to showcase the before and after for somebody's life. So if you wanted to go in a closed loss program and you can map out the competitor that they're using and building out a case study of somebody that made the switch from that competitor to your solution is a huge opportunity in a closed loss program for re-engagement. And then the last piece is direction. So are we tracking that these accounts are engaging in whatever we're sending out? Like I mentioned, you can use HubSpot natively for that. And like, if you want to get really specific, you know, even on just basic Marketing Hub, you can build out 15 landing pages for free.
Yeah.
So like, you could build out a dedicated HubSpot landing page and create dedicated CTAs that are only on that landing page. And you only send that landing page out through all of your ABM distribution channels for this program. So if anybody's finding it, you know that the accounts hitting that page are only a part of that program. And you can actually look at the individual CTA and see the number of accounts that click schedule a call or hit the transitional call to action, view additional content or whatever that needs to look like. So again, that's how I'd build out a closed loss program if I were in your shoes today, only with like a basic tech stack.
Awesome. No, that's super helpful. HubSpot, I think, is probably one of the most powerful tools for helping run any of this because at scale too, you can do smart content. You can bulk personalize. So you have one landing page that changes. Like, there's so much you can do even on the lowest tier of HubSpot. So yeah. If you do not have a tool orchestrated, definitely recommend checking out HubSpot and Warmly as two of the main components there.
Yes.
Where do you think ABM is going in 2024?
Back to basics. And I hate to put it, granted, that's admittedly where I'm living. So that's a lot of my conversations, but also as I look at my different opportunity sources, my fourth largest opportunity source is actually ABM tech vendors and their CS teams, because they're having so many of their customers churn off the ABM tech stack because either they had significant layoffs and they now have no one to manage the platform anymore, or it's been crazy. 10% of my conversations with people that are looking at ABM actually have admitted in a sales conversation, we bought the ABM platform thinking we would figure out how to use it after we bought it. So it wasn't a strategic buy. It was a buy because they thought they needed to buy the platform to do ABM versus understand that ABM is a strategy. So I think right now there's a lot of hype in general around AI and just different tooling. And I think that in the ABM space specifically, we're largely going back to more foundational elements to build it up correctly. And then like the other side to it is, I feel like in the past year to year and a half is the first time that there have been ABM tools that have a product-led growth motion. I've mentioned a couple already, like Propensity and Warmly and Apollo. Largely, those have been locked behind very high barrier to entry costs. So people are recognizing, I can get started at a very low price point. So that's why I think we're going back to basics and like figuring out how do I actually do this right versus this massive scale. I also think that's a reflection of the fact that money has gotten a lot tighter than it was in like 21 and 22. I still think we're seeing the effects of kind of the insanity that is less VC and PE funding that started in 23.
Yeah. People being a lot more diligent about where they're actually spending their money. I heard a stat from another guest that the average marketer has over 100 tools in their tech stack. And especially for like larger enterprises where maybe your budget's quite a bit larger. So if you have an extra like platform you're paying $80K a year for, you don't necessarily notice it as heavily as when you're a smaller company. But it's true. Like, so many companies just buy tech thinking the tech will get them the thing that they're trying to build instead of putting the effort into building the thing. And then you get a year in and it's time for renewal and you're like, what's the ROI? Oh, we didn't run anything because we don't have our underlying foundation in place to be able to use the tech to amplify with it.
Yeah. The other side is just like the RevOps project for implementation. Like, sometimes it takes 3 or 4 months before you can actually start using the platform. And then you're 6 months in and really been running a program for 2 months. But from an executive perspective that signed off on the platform, they think we're 6 months into running a program. So, like, just the mismatch of expectations around time to value is, I think, why we're seeing so many people churn on their tech stack, and why we're seeing so many people going back to, like, right people, right process, and just foundational stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, Mason, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your thoughts. If anyone's interested in learning more, all relevant links will be in the show notes below. And we'll see you all on the next episode.
Thanks for having me.